Hello, everybody. I'm Radio Johnny, and you are listening to Recovery Radio on KRFP 90.3 FM in Moscow, Pullman. Recovery Radio is an outreach of the Latah and Whitman recovery communities. You can find them on the web at latahrecoverycenter.org and on Facebook. The Latah Recovery Community is located at 531 South Main Street in Moscow. You can contact the LRC by phone at 208-883-1045 or by email at latahrecoverycenter@gmail.com. The Whitman Recovery Community is located at 226 East Main Street in Pullman, and you can contact the WRC by phone at 509-715-1111 or by email at WRCCProgramManager@gmail.com. And their hours over there, the hours in Moscow are 10 to 8, 10 a.m. to 8 p.m., and Pullman is 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and that's Monday through Friday. Recovery Radio's purpose is to share with our community how addiction and behavioral health disorders affect us all and how we deal with them. We also share the personal stories of people in and around recovery, highlighting their experience, insight, and hope for continued recovery. And like I said earlier, I am Radio Johnny, and if you want to see the calendar events that are going on at both the Whitman community and Latah communities, programs, just go to the LatahRecoveryCenter.org website, and it's laid out there. Today's show, we actually have a guest in the studio, JD. He's been with us before, and also with us is Miss Denise.
Hello, Miss Denise. Yeah, glad to be here.
And so, Jay, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Johnny. It's good to be back.
Good to be back? Yeah, it's good to be anywhere these days, you know. Or like you say, be there or be somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah. Be there or be elsewhere.
That's right. So, and today we're going to kind of the three of us work out something that comes from the AA Daily Reflections book. The Daily Reflections book is kind of a, what would you call it, a daily... reflection.
It's a sampling of bits of AA literature and then some blurbs.
Some commentary on it.
I think there is stuff that's only in the book, but it's about, usually about.
So anyway, this was one from yesterday that Jay and I and a few other men discussed in AA's men's meeting. But it's a great topic, and it's one that always seems to scare people away when they find out that there's a spiritual element to the AA recovery program. And, of course, Denise's program is Christ-centered.
It
so,
is.
But people are expecting that when they walk into a church.
Sure,
to
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also, I mean, everybody's on their own path in that and whatever they believe. So
right, exactly.
Good with whatever someone's beliefs are. That's a personal thing.
As long as they believe, right? So this one, I'm going to read it real quick here. It's a short bit. And the title of it is Open-Mindedness. And I think that's the concept that they're talking about as well. We found that God does not make too hard terms with those who seek him. To us, the realm of the spirit is broad, roomy, all-inclusive, never exclusive or forbidding to those who earnestly seek. It is open, we believe, to all men. And that's from the book Alcoholics Anonymous, page 46. It goes on here, the commentary is, open-mindedness to concept of a higher power can open doors to the spirit. Often I find the human spirit in various dogmas and faiths. I can be spiritual in the sharing of myself. The sharing of self joins me to the human race and brings me closer to God as I understand him. And that's the reading. Kind of important to me that people when they come into recovery, into the AA program or any other 12-step program, because most of them are based roughly on AA principles and the step work, you know, modified to their addiction problem, hurt, habit, hang up,
right,
sort of deal.
What their specifics are, yeah.
And a lot of them do rely on this spiritual aspect and developing a relationship with the power outside of yourself. And what that means to me is I want to not be reliant on self for everything, for every thought, decision I make, because, you know, I'm human, I'm fallible, and I have a history of making really bad decisions. You know, I mean, not just about my drinking, although that was pretty paramount, but just life decisions. You know, I can screw things up pretty easy. I can go 65 in this 55. Oh, what are those blue lights behind me?
Right.
You know, it can be as simple as that, or as complex as making a bad decision about a relationship, which can be really bad and really harmful to everyone involved, not just me. So I do rely on my higher power, which I call the God of my non-understanding, or just God for short. I don't believe my God is an old man with flowing white hair and a big beard who lives in the clouds and judges harshly, mainly because that was the God of my youth. And, you know, I rejected that when I rejected the church I was going to. And the reason I rejected the church I was going to, I have come to discover later on here now that the church, the concept, all that is really great. Unfortunately, it's full of people just like me. And we're fallible and we're human and, you know, we do things that are not great. So I have my God of my non-understanding, and I am able to work with that and be just happy enough. So anyway, Jay, you we were talking, and there was a suggestion made or that is made by people from time to time with somebody new coming into the AA program, where, you know, they may be agnostic, they may be even atheistic, or they may have had some experience with organized religion before that they've rejected. But, you know, it's a God of your own understanding. And some people, what I'm getting at is some people will say, well, why don't you write a want ad for a God? And you came up with just this brilliant thing. And I would love to have you spell it out for us now.
Oh, okay. All right. And I'm Jay. And yeah, and I think somebody shared at the meeting we were talking about how they had been suggested to them that they write a want ad for their higher power, which that's pursuant to, you know, step two, which is we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And so, you know, it's early in the steps. You kind of got to get over that one, you know. And you know, it's like, you know, came to believe, higher powered, take it easy. Those kind of, it's kind of bumper stickers that you see on if you see those bumper stickers on somebody's car, they're in the program. You know,
right.
It's like, you know, it's like, it says back off. They're just upset about your tailgating. You know, it's like,
right.
But you know, but those other ones are like, oh yeah, that person's a member of the program. And so Diane, it was this, I first heard this idea from this woman called Diane, who I think she was in her 90s at the time. And
yeah, I remember Diane.
Yeah, yeah, Diane. Anyway, so she was a fount of wisdom. So she said, yeah, make a want ad. So I went and did that. And I can read it since I've been asked to.
Please. Yeah.
So I don't know, a lot of people nowadays probably don't know what a newspaper is, you know, or like, you know, what a want ad is. I actually got some dates in San Francisco by putting in a want ad. You know, it's like that was,
right.
You know, it's like.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of like Craigslist, except they printed it on paper and sold it on the corners, or you could subscribe to it.
I mean,
it.
There's still papers.
Yeah.
It's just most people are on their phones,
you know,
instead.
So it's like, yeah, you know, like, like younger man seeks older women. You know, right, get a lot of responses. It's funny. And anyway, but so this is like Wanted for Hire. This is the title of the one ad. It's, so Wanted for Hire, God, higher power, guiding spirit, or guardian angel to serve as personal deity, object of and focus for spiritual devotion and motivation for ongoing personal spiritual growth. Must be loving, forgiving, all-powerful, all-knowing, and have a sense of humor. Must be a team player, no prima donnas. Must be here and now rather than hereafter oriented, and should be a firm yet gentle guide to daily peace, acceptance, and serenity regardless of circumstances. Must be willing to work irregular hours and weekends as required. No taboos, please, but rituals, pilgrimages, occasional fasting or other observances and devotions are negotiable. Must not require inordinate blood or other sacrifices, self-mutilation of any kind, self-flagellation or other forms of penance, affectation of speech or gesture, or the wearing of special clothing or talismans. No homophobes, misogynists, bigots, racists, prudes, ethnocentrists, eschatologists, status quo apologists, nihilists, paternalists, fire and brimstoners, evil or satanic-y deities need apply. Interested applicants should interview or audition in person or as an avatar via spiritual vision or dream, moment of clarity, sudden inspiration, serendipitous coincidence, or other forms of visitation. No appointment necessary. Offer void where prohibited. That's it.
There you go.
That's great. And, you know, I love that because it really, well, of course, you have been a practicing comedian. I'm not sure if that's a religion or not, but yeah, no, you have a great sense of humor, and I love how you threw that in the beginning and part of the description. Must also have a sense of humor, which my God certainly does. I had hair, now I don't. It caused somebody a great chuckle in the design.
I mean, at least you know it's tan like your face. So.
Yeah.
There you go.
God bless me for that. Yeah.
It's not oddly shaped or anything.
No strange bumps that all from my parents that all kind of evened out because I sat between them, so I got it from both sides.
Yep, you know, they thunked you. I think that's what we used to call it. You got thunked.
Yep. Yeah. That's it. So yeah, I mean, what sort of thing led you to be so creative about it? I mean, obviously there was some serious thought there. I mean, there was a list of things that you didn't want that I understood about three or four of the words, you know, nihilist. Okay. I got that one. But what prompted you to go that deep?
Eschatology and status quo apology is, those are, you know, horrible. You know,
okay.
You know, I mean, eschatology being the sort of belief that the world's going to end soon, you know, that sort of thing. And then, you know, status quo apology, it's, well, you know, things are the way they are. What are you going to do? They are the way they are because they have to be that way. And that's actually, I guess it was just my dad tend to be that way. I would describe him as a Panglossian status quo apologist, you know, which is like the sort of the purple level, you know. That's like, you know, Professor Pangloss from Candide, you know, he'd say that your nose is positioned in the middle of your face and your ears are right here because you can put your glasses on, you know, it's perfect for holding your glasses on. And it's like, you know, it's like, okay, so basically we're really, really leaning into it here, you know, it's, as opposed to, and I think those are both bad things for someone who's trying to recover from addiction,
right?
You know, is like, you have to believe that the whole point of having a higher power is being able to believe that things can be better, or that, and part of that is like that my own, you know, self-perception and my own perception of the way things are, you know, I'm either wearing the poop colored glasses or I'm wearing the rose colored glasses or whatever, or I'm wearing some kind of glasses again with the glasses. It's like glasses are, and that perception may be wrong, and you need somebody who's, you know, we talk about, you know, the committee of doom, or we have other names for it. I'm not sure if it's good to say over the radio. Yeah. It's like the committee of doom. And so your higher power is the one, you know, person who sits on that committee who like votes for you, you know, it's like votes in your favor consistently, you know, and you need somebody's in your corner. And also I think, a higher power is, it's somebody who stands outside of my perception of the world, which is like negative, you know, I have to drink and use, I have to do this, you know, I you know, you know, suicide makes sense a lot of the time, all this sort of stuff.
Right.
And that's, so you need to have somebody who's standing outside of that, you know, environment or that economy, emotional economy.
Right.
And so that's really what it's about. And
a separate perspective.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's, you say like, well, I think all this stuff's melting down or whatever, or I think this is the greatest idea ever, you know, or something, you know, the typical, you know, alcoholic thinking. And then your higher power can say, you know, maybe not, you know, it's like, you know,
in the Christian belief system, they believe that, you know, God gave man free will, to make mistakes.
That's right. Well, that's why I need him.
That's right.
And and as you had touched on earlier on with the daily reflections, the you know, it's a how program. It, you know, the 12 steps are a how program. It's not a why program.
Right.
And the how is honesty, open-mindedness, willingness, right?
Right.
And so I think any time that, you know, one is sort of smacking up against the wall of some perceived reality, and oh, I can't work the steps, I, you know, I can't do this, you know, it's like I've got some stupid problem or whatever, then it's like, you know, you can question, you know, am I being honest, you know, and is it a problem of honesty or open-mindedness, you know, and also like willingness. Obviously it's a problem of willingness if you're not, you're saying, actively saying, I'm not willing to do this, then it's like, okay, you got a willingness problem right there, got that.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the higher power serves as a sort of a stable foothold in another reality where you can question those kind of things. There's this, it's in the film Conclave, right? And one thing that was, I think it's a quote from, you know, antiquity, but it's like, certainty is the enemy of faith. You know, it's like a higher power can be a repository of this sort of hysterical doubt. You know, which is where, you know, maybe it's not as bad as I think, or maybe it's not as good as I think, and maybe I shouldn't act on what I think, you know, maybe I shouldn't act on how great I think it is.
Right. Yeah. Well, that makes sense. Denise, when you got out from underneath your addiction, and were you a regular churchgoer during that time?
So,
during your addiction, I mean?
So as I grew up, my grandmother and parents took me to church when I was young.
Okay.
But I'm pretty sure that there wasn't much time in church by the time I was like 12. So from 12 into, you know, most of my adulthood, I didn't attend church. And then, but I did believe in God and I prayed to God. I didn't really understand and have a relationship as far as like I do now. But when I turned 40 and was in recovery and attending the Latah County Drug Court Program, I did start going to church. So, and in that I started, you know, having community with people, attending Celebrate Recovery, Restoration Night, and things like that, and started to understand. I would say, and I do want to say that I feel like people's beliefs, whether they're Christian or whatever their beliefs are, personal, you know, it can be, you know, for me, it was partly I was brought up that way to believe in God and to believe in Jesus. And I did see different kinds of things in my life that really caught my attention when it had to do with Jesus, like really did. And those things made an impression on me. And then in my late 20s, I think I was about 28, I was listening to 700 Club, 800 Club?
700
Club, yeah. Yep. And I remember at that time, I came to the conclusion that I was done carrying the weight of not knowing who had murdered my father, and that it was more important, my prayer was that person had changed and wasn't hurting anyone else. And I handed that over to the Lord and realized that it wasn't really my place to judge. I would never know. And I just kind of released that whole thing, gave it over. And then around that time, like, accepted Jesus as my personal savior. And then when I think I was 41 or 42, I was baptized, you know, water immersion, that kind of thing. And again, there's just different things that have happened. I remember, and I may or may not have shared this with you, but I got baptized at Real Life Church, and I, you know, they have help you go back into the water. And as I was coming out of the water, I heard this soft voice say anew. And at the time, I didn't actually know what that biblically meant. And then within a year or two, I was in Celebrate Recovery and saw the passage that talks about you receiving a new life and the old one goes away. And I was just like, oh my goodness. So that's like a couple examples of probably 100 things that have happened in my life, right, where something happened and I either knew at the time or found out later that that was the Holy Spirit speaking to me or God working in my life. And so it's just, my faith has grown and become a part of my life just because of how the Holy Spirit, God, Jesus has interacted with mm-hmm. me. Like, it's just so obvious to me. And again, you know, I can't speak, everyone's journey is their own, just like recovery, you know, right. Like, I remember thinking back, especially since I started working here, about how my friends and my family must have been so frustrated during that 12 years that I was in active addiction. Mm-hmm. And so I try to give people grace as I work with them because, you know, we're all in our own time, you know, for things in our life.
Right.
Yeah. So did that actually answer the question that you asked?
Yeah. It did. And to go a little, beyond that, you know, we're talking about the HOW program, honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And it was obvious in what you just shared that you were being honest with yourself and you were open-minded. And open-mindedness wasn't really an issue for you because you had been exposed before and weren't. You didn't have the experience like I did, I guess is
yes.
what I'm saying.
And over the years, so, we've gotten to talk and you shared about how church and Christianity was for mm-hmm. you growing up
right.
was completely different than for right. me. And through what you've shared and others that I've met through my church, there's a real understanding from hearing their stories about, you know, that spiritual abuse from people and how people can, you know, beat somebody over the head with scripture or manipulate it to, you know, have power over someone. I had not known about that growing up. And so that's really changed me and helping me understand what other people have gone through. And that part of just someone could really have a negative experience and it makes sense to me, you know, that could happen. Yeah.
Well, and Jay, you were riding along on the Christian bandwagon for quite a while.
Oh,
in
yeah.
your younger years.
Yeah.
Can you share a little about that?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess I was, you know, basically intensely suicidal from a very young age, like, you know, 5 or 6.
Oh, wow.
And so, you know, like the idea, it was almost like, I mean, it was literally like, you know, Hamlet, you know, the Eternal has set its canons against self-slaughter. And so I figured if I lean into the Christian thing, I would like not kill myself. I could stay alive.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And because I saw that, you know, like suicide and also addiction later, you know, it's a disease that you just have to fight. You know, and it, you know, people say, oh, it's the only disease that tells you that you don't have a disease. Well, not really. I mean, there are lots of phenomena. Anything that has a nervous system can be convinced that, you know, I'm taking over and that's a good thing for you. You know, it's like whether it's a, you know, brain right. parasite or whatever. So anyway, but I definitely leaned into, I got confirmed in the Methodist Church. I joined a Pentecostal church when I went to college. And, you know, so I got, you know, rebaptized, and you know, I did like the Baptists and the Methodists. You know, that I'm that they go back and forth about immersion or sprinkle. You know, are they the same? And then people go, you know, they go 18 rounds about, you know, grape juice versus wine. And you know, as an alcoholic, it's like that's, you know, I actually had that experience in my Shinto family in Japan. You know, we would drink the plum wine at the beginning of a, you know, Shogatsu, you know, feast. And it was like, oh, what are we going to do? He's going to get out the umeshu again, you know. And it's like, and then he replaced it with plum juice. You know, my father-in-law replaced it with plum juice. I don't know who got to him, how this happened, but, you know, that kind of stuff. You know, this,
right.
the rituals and it's like, those are all excuses for people to turn their back on recovery.
Right,
you know, it's like,
sure.
oh, well, I have to do this. This is like, you know, I have to drink this. I have to do communion, or I have to do this, you know, and I have to do communion this way. And it's like, so we're presented with a lot of these excuses, and mm-hmm. you know, that's a whole other issue. But, yeah, so anyway, we were, you know, the full immersion baptism. We did, like, the praying in tongues stuff. And that was, and even though I moved away from that, you know, practicing Christianity, and then I ended up in Japan, and you know, basically I just practiced Shintoism because that's what was available. You know, you go to a temple, you clap your hands, you throw your coin, you wave, you wake up the gods with the bell, and you know, and you get your omamori and you know, and other stuff. Yeah, it's like I told my son, I bought an omamori for like good luck in getting a job, you know, and he's like, oh yeah, thanks, Dad. He's like, he's like, so I could be a religious.
You're
fanatic.
Like, there's love behind that.
Yeah, but the point is that recovery is about survival, you know, right. And it's like, that's the first step, you know, step one of the 12 steps is like, you have to decide that you have a problem and that you need to survive, you know, and right. And so for me, it was like, well, I'm going to take this, you know, like praying in tongues. I've actually researched that quite a lot. The psychological term is glossolalia. It's totally a thing. And I read some research that was actually done at the U of I that, you know, says that people who pray in tongues, they immediately get into the theta wave mode, which is like 20 or 30 years of a veteran, you know, Zen Buddhist meditator. You know, it takes them like 30 years to get that level. But like, you know, praying in tongues, glossolalia, that immediately takes that level. So that's a tool that I use. Because, you know, when I'm trying to calm myself down or calm some little, you know, disabled kid on the bus that I'm bus wardening on, you know, it's like, I'm going to get too verklempt, you know, what am I going to say, you know, but it's like, I can just let, you know, you could say, it's okay, I'm speaking with the tongues of God, in the tongue of God and angels, gods and angels, or it's just some sort of, my brain goes into some, you know, short-circuited, you know, between, and either way, it works. You know, and so I use those spiritual tools that I've picked up along the way, and I can't say, oh, I'm part of this, or I'm not part of this, and I can't do this anymore, or I have to do this, you know, and it's like, those are ways that we get drunk. Those are the ways we get back on drugs.
Yeah.
There are lots of ways to, and that's the open-mindedness part, I think.
Right.
You know, it's like, you just have to say, well, this works, and it doesn't have to be connected to a bunch of other people's ideas, you know,
right.
Because if it helps me survive and, you know, flourish and you know, with my, you know, recovered addiction or whatever, then
right.
I'm going to use it, you know, and it's the same thing with that article I wrote, you know, that one ad I wrote, you know, it's just like, whatever works, you know, it's like, some people laugh, some people think it's ridiculous, some people think it's heretical or whatever, and it's just like, does it work or doesn't it work?
Right.
You know? And so those are the suggestions that I make to the sponsees and stuff. You know, it's like, this worked for me. You can try this. And it's an exercise in willingness.
Right. Right.
Well, and that's kind of important when you come into recovery. I mean, if you are new to it and haven't done it before, looking to others for the ways that they've been able to do it or are is really helpful. You know, we need that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We do, in AA, you hear quite often people talk about having been granted the gift of desperation.
Right.
You know, where you're willing to listen to people, at least just listen to people, because, you know, in my case, you know, I had tried, well, actually, I hadn't really tried to stop drinking. I just kind of had accepted that I was going to drink, and whatever happened. And if I got worried about it, I just drank more. You know, and the doctor told me that my liver was going to go into, in short amount of time, would probably go into a glorious revolution against the rest of my body. Mm. It didn't stop me. It didn't even slow me down. And I mean, and that was his suggestion. Maybe cut back a little. I'm like, Doc, it's 8 in the morning and I'm drunk sitting here in this exam room with you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Slow it down. I think I sort of did, but I mean, drunk is drunk, right?
I think I had a lot of reasons. I mean, it was like, oh, well, I won't be able to function today. Oh, I'll be sick. You know, I need to be able to, you know what I mean? There were so many reasons, you know. I mean, I could justify. Yeah.
Yeah. We're good at that. But back on to the, you know, talking about, you know, establishing that connection with the higher power, because it's one thing to say, okay, I have a higher power, which, you know, on the simplest form description I heard of it was our friend Corey, talks about how he was struggling with the concept of higher power or power greater than himself. And his sponsor just said, well, I can move this couch, but it's going to be really hard for me. Mm-hmm. But if two of us move the couch, it would be a lot easier. Mm. So, you know, a power greater than yourself can be just two of us working together on this thing. And that made a lot of sense to me. But for me, you know, accepting that there was something out there in the universe greater than me wasn't really too hard. It was easy for me to accept that concept. But defining it was what I struggled with. But people said, just do the program as if you believe, you know. Mm-hmm. And of course, my sponsor said, you can borrow my higher power. And I said, I don't understand what that is either. So thanks, but, you know, I mean, appreciate the offer. But the people in the program, my sponsor said, just pray. Pray for willingness. Pray for, you know, to be honest. Pray for all these things that the program wants to give you, but you're unsure of. And initially, I wanted to pray, you know, can I win the lottery? You know,
right.
I mean, not a lot, not like millions, just, you know, enough to keep me flush, you know, with cash, you know, sort of thing. And of course, I discovered right away that's, you know, the 11th step kind of lays out praying only for God's will for us and the power to carry that out. And once I started really doing that, you know, like, I don't know what to do today, God. I've already washed every dish in the house. I vacuumed twice. You know, I washed all the windows, first and second floor, and it's 5:30 a.m., and I still got a whole day in front of me. What should I do next? Just a prayer that simple. Or even, you know, it's like, okay, God, it's you and me today. I don't know what's going to happen, where I'm going to be. Let me know. And in time, I realized, of course, in retrospect, my hindsight is perfect 2020, but that can be very useful when I realized that every time I prayed in that manner, something positive came out of it. It was like I prayed one day. I was pretty much unemployable at the point I, you know, finally put the plug in the jug and got into the program. And after the fog cleared and, you know, it was a couple of months of just doing nothing but going to meetings, you know, my wife's like, oh, we're going to lose a house if you don't, like, you know, get on the ball here. It would be nice if you had a job. So I went out in the front and was having my morning cigarette at about, you know, 6:30. And this young man came out. He was living with the gal we rented. We had a little sub apartment in our place. We called him Stretch. He was like 6'11", something like that. We're pushing 7 feet. And it's like, hey, Stretch. And he's like, hey, Johnny, what's up? And I go, I got to find a job. And he goes, oh. He goes, you know about electrical and stuff. And I'm like, yeah, 25 years in, you know, computer manufacturing. I know a little bit about it. And he goes, oh, here's my boss's card. Call him up because we always need people. And I'm like, okay. And I knew what he did. It was an electrical contractor, but they specialized in these lighting, retrofitting fluorescent lighting fixtures. And so I called the guy up that morning, his boss up. He said, come in this afternoon, bring a resume. And so I got cleaned up and I went in, brought him a resume, and he hired me on the spot. And I said, I have some tools, but I'm not sure I have everything I need to do the work. He said, no worries. There's a few basic things. We'll have them here for you tomorrow morning. He says, just ride in with Stretch. We'll let him do the training. You already know him. You get along with him? Yeah, I get along with him. And that was it. And I started out that morning just with a prayer. God, help me find a job so I can contribute to this house, this establishment, this family. And that's what happened, just that fast.
Correct.
And it only took a few situations like that, an ask and an answer that was obvious and almost immediate, that kind of flipped the switch for me that the God of my youth was not the one I was dealing with.
No, those were people.
At this point.
Yeah, those were people messing it up.
Different, it was a whole different deal. Have you had experiences like that, Jay?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, like when I get desperate enough, you know, God speaks to me if I shut up and listen, you know, that sort of thing. And it's, right. And a lot of, and it's almost like it's this out of the blue thing. And the more out of the blue it is, you know, like I've told you about the whole, you know, situation with my, you know, former neighbors and, you know, the dog and pooping on my yard. And it's like, you know, and it was like, you know, I get something, well, you could give them a plant, you know, and the thing is, it's like, it's a little gesture on my part, but the neighbors get all friendly after that. You know, I felt like it was rising to, you know, a boil or something like that, which may or may not have been true, you know, so once again, put my perceptions aside. And then, I could probably think of lots of other examples, but, that, you know, there's a tendency of like, first of all, to not pray. What you're saying about prayer, it made me think of this thing I tell, you know, the story I tell about, you know, Niels Bohr, right? If I told that one before.
Go ahead.
Anyway, it's like, so Niels Bohr, you know, it's basically the inventor of, you know, quantum physics or whatever, you know, and after World War II, some guy came out to his, you know, farm to, like, interview him, right? So he's, like, the greatest physicist ever. And the guy immediately clocks this this horseshoe nailed up over the door of his barn. Mm-hmm. And he's like, you know, Professor Bohr, you're the greatest scientist ever, and you have this superstitious talisman, you know, nailed up on your barn. What is the deal? You know, and he's like, you can't possibly believe in that, you know. And it's like he says, oh, it works even if you don't believe in it, you know.
Right.
It's like, so that's the kind of thing that I think a lot of, you know, sponsors will say to sponsees if they remember, if it occurs to them. It's like just do it, you know.
Yeah, behave as if is a phrase.
Yeah, behave as if, and just do it, and it will work. You know, and it doesn't matter if you quote unquote believe in it, and I kind of don't even really believe in believing in the concept of belief. You know, it's all there's action, and it's once something happens, I can make up whatever story I want.
Right.
You know, as long as I haven't told anybody or written anything down, you know, or gone on record that, like, oh, this is what I'm planning on doing. It's like, oh, you know, it's like Pee Wee Herman. I meant to do that. You know, you know, so everybody's a Pee Wee Herman. It's like, you know, let's be honest here. You know, and we talk about, like, miracles, like, you know, winning the lottery. It's like, you know, just like 5, maybe 7 million, that'd do it. You know, it doesn't have to be like 100 million or whatever. But it's like, it's kind of like this, at the risk of explaining something simple in terms of something more complicated, it's like this, you know, a Feynman diagram, you know, it's like you got point A and point B over here, and it's like there are zillions of pathways to get there, right? And it's like there are miracles happening around us all the time, you know, some of them are small, but they're right next to you, you know, or whatever. And it's like, so it's like, well, I got to have the miracle where I win the lottery, you know, and the blah, 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 and the, you know, and it's like, well, that one's kind of a long shot, you know, that is there, but it's also kind of a long shot, you know, and it may not be what, you know, the universe has, you know, your higher power or whatever has in store.
Right.
So if you just, you know, shut up and focus on what does your higher power have in store for you?
Right.
You know, what are the plans your higher power has? And it's usually do some simple thing, like do the dishes or give your neighbors a plant or whatever, you know, and that's not a big deal for you, but then your higher power can work on it. You know, it's like it can be, you know, the pebble that begins the avalanche, you know?
Right.
But it's like, I don't know, you know, it's like, you know, God says, okay, that pebble, throw it there. You know, it's like, you don't have to understand why it's going to work or whatever. Yeah. I'll do the rest, you know?
Exactly. Right. That willingness.
I've got it all figured out, you know, and it's like, oh, wow, there's a big avenue. It's like, okay, yeah, thanks. Thanks for doing your part. That you know, I needed you to do that in order for that to happen. But, you know, it's like, so thanks for being willing, you know, yay. Mm-hmm.
Well, exactly. and even beyond, you know, prayer, you know, which prayer means petition, you know, petitioning for certain things, you know, even if it's as simple as God's will for you, part of the carry, that I find that if I maintain that kind of belief that I have a spiritual connection, and I practice it, sometimes those miracles happen without any prodding of the deity or whatever.
Right.
It's just like, as long as I keep doing the things I'm supposed to be doing, good things keep happening to me.
Right.
Well, bad things happen too, but those tend to be, I have found in my 2020 hindsight, places I put myself where I shouldn't be. Relationships or arguments I've injected myself into instead of just letting, you know, just in the back of my mind going, well, they're dumb, but, you know, hey, whatever. You know, not really being that rude, but you know, there's an old saying, it's like, would you rather be happy or would you rather be right? And sometimes, you know,
it's okay to not be right.
It's
it really
the question whether you ever actually can be right.
Yeah. I
mean, that's right. Whether it's even possible at all.
Right.
It's like, that's fair.
That the assumption that that's possible may be very pernicious, you know,
right.
It may be
exactly.
Very, very poisonous in its
and frightening at the
and
same time.
And not all miracles are for me. You know,
right,
so that's one
exactly.
thing. It's like if miracles are happening, it's like they're not all, they might be for somebody else, you know, and I get to witness it.
Yeah.
And it's
awesome.
Kind of like,
yeah.
And it's like, okay, or, you know, oh, I deserve that. You know, it's like, or whatever, you know, and I don't know if I, you know, told you my bread story, right? Mm-hmm. Bread is kind of this, you know, it's a big Christian thing too, but you know, it's like,
yeah,
it just happens sure. to be this particular way things have gone. It's like, I was driving over to Pullman and I'm in my car and there was this sort of Navy SUV in front of me, and we're both getting up to 70 miles an hour, and there was a loaf of bread sitting on the back bumper.
Wow.
And I'm like, what is going on here? You know?
Right.
And that was kind of like, so I follow the guy all the way to Pullman, and eventually they go up, you know, up the, you know, whatever, you know, Merman Drive
whatever
or whatever.
Hill, yeah.
And I can, you know, and I'm just like, what happened? You know? I mean, it was like, it was almost like just God saying, hey, look what I can do. You know, look,
yeah, right.
Look at this. This is, the, you know, woohoo, you know, and I'm just kind of, you know, and so it's like it was a miracle that was either just had no purpose or it was for somebody else, but I got to witness it.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, that could kind of happen. You know, if at some yeah. point saving my butt involves a loaf of bread staying on somebody's bumper all the way to Pullman, that's possible. I saw it. I witnessed the miracle, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was some other more minor time where I'm walking along and, you know, up past the high school, and it's like, there was this loaf of bread. It was kind of an artisan, you know, and it was like wrapped up and it was pristine and everything was sitting next to the stop sign. And I'm just like looking at it and it's like, you know, why? You know, what am I supposed to take away from this? And that's the thing is like, you don't, you know, like I say, my higher power keeps me on a just in time, need to know basis. And it's like,
right.
you don't need to know why. You don't need to necessarily have to do anything about this or, you know, and you know, that's it. You know, it's like, just take it in. It's like sometimes,
right.
you know, the message may be reality is sometimes and maybe all the time more and different and whatever than what I think it is. And
yep.
just that's a little reminder, you know.
There you go.
That's funny.
Oh, and speaking of reality, you know what the reality is? We're just about out of time here. So I'm going to wrap it up. Yeah, I think we got it all figured out here. I think we can call ourselves good and holy and spiritual now and or not.
God's good.
So anyway, Jake, thanks for coming in again.
Well, yes, thank you.
Have you come in on a more regular basis. I love the way you think because it's definitely different than the way I think.
I feel like Jay has a big brain, like the big smart
the part
brain.
That I share with
I
you.
I love
you
that.
Like,
right,
yeah.
right, exactly.
Big brain.
What is it used to say if, you know, anybody who spent 15 minutes inside my brain would probably instantly want to kill themselves.
Yes, we just go for the nearest window or the biggest
right.
knife.
Just be like, no, I'm gonna do it.
I think it's more like 3 to 5 minutes. It's like, I think right. 15 minutes would be like that.
That would be bad. So, and thank you, Denise,
thank
for
you,
being
Johnny.
Here as always and contributing. And close it out with the usual. You know, if you think you have a problem with substances or behavioral health, you do.
Cupid doll, no pretty chick is gonna make me cry. suit cut sharp as a razor and a heart made of gold. I had a guitar hanging just above waist high, and I'm gonna play this thing until the day I die.